God is working in the lives of our brothers and their families. Isn't that what we want? We want God to work in our lives, in our families. And again, that's the subject that I'm going to be discussing today. This will be the fifth session on marriage, the marriage that God desires for me to have, a happy marriage. I was thinking too with her brother Leslie, and I'm glad you prayed, Doug, for Susan, because 4 months is a long time to be away from your spouse. So they're going to need their prayers. And you might think that, you don't need to pray about a lot of things because, you know, they're older. But you know, that's when Satan can get a foothold in. So we need to pray earnestly and fervently for them. And of course, we all need prayer in that area. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is where I'd like to turn to first. Again, in taking this subject up, I'm no expert. My wife and I we're 39 years of marriage. We've had our ups and downs, we've had our ins and outs, we've had our problems. But God has brought us through by His grace and His mercy. And in taking this subject up, I'll reiterate a few things that I've said before. I just want to be a help. I hope that what is being presented through these things, that God is using them to speak to all of our hearts, that we might have a better relationship in our marriages, that the testimony of God in our homes, to our children, to our grandchildren, the way we treat our spouses, the testimony in our homes to anyone who would see us, maybe even at work, some of the comments that we might make about our spouses or some of the jokes that go around that are so derogatory. We need to stand up for what God wants. God wants us to have a blessed and happy marriage, putting Him first and putting our spouse second. I've said that before, and I mean it with all my heart, that God doesn't intend for us to put our spouse third, or fourth, or fifth, or sixth. God first, our spouse second. It has to be that way if we are going to be in tune with God, if we're going to have a proper relationship with the Lord. What we're going to look at today, somewhat, all these things, there were seven things that I initially was going to start with. God's view of a Christian marriage, the beginning of marriage, my conduct in marriage, my attitude in marriage, what to do and not to do in marriage, my words in marriage, and enjoying and not enduring marriage. And I thought I was going to be able to do each one of these things separately, and I've tried very hard to do that, but what I'm finding out is they're all interconnected. You can't just separate and say, okay, this is my attitude, or I'm just going to talk about attitude, because my attitude affects my conduct, and it affects whether or not I'm saying the right things. It affects whether or not I'm doing or not doing proper things in the marriage. And so all these subjects are interconnected. So if you find that it's very hard to distinguish each session individually, that's why. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 32. The Apostle Paul writes this, and he says, I would like you, in the NIV, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Now we can stop there for a minute. Doug, you have an advantage over us right there, see? Unmarried man has a concern about the Lord's affairs, how he may please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world and how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. And so I think it's important to realize that in marriage, one huge major aspect that you can't separate from your marriage relationship is you are to please your spouse. Now, there are times that all of us don't please our spouse. There are times that all of us don't put them second to the Lord. We have other interests and we deviate and we go off to the side. But you know, when you want to please God, you're going to want to do what He says in His Word. And His Word says, a married person is to please their spouse. You're going to please the Lord first, but you're going to please your wife or your husband second. We can stay there for a minute and look at that verse a little bit more, but I do want to read Colossians chapter 3. These are verses that I keep bringing out almost every time. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. And again, it's that the verses that kind of get your back up and make you stiff and think, I don't know about this. But remember, it's God's word. God wrote it. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. You know, Thomas said something to me last time, or one of the times when I was talking about the weaker vessel, and he said he'd heard a message once where the person brought out that the wife isn't necessarily like weak, but she's fragile. You treat her like she's very fragile. You treat her with respect. It's like something that's very close to being able to break and very valuable. And he didn't say all those words, but I'm putting this into what he was trying to tell me. And so when we look at our wives, we are to treat them as if they're very fragile, very precious, and you don't want to hurt them, and you don't want to harm them, you don't want to break them, you don't want to lose them. That's very important. The second thing here in verse 19, husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them, and the King James says bitter. And again, we need to get these instilled in our hearts and our minds so that when we leave here today, we are trying to do what God wants us to do. As a husband, I need to seek to love my wife. As a wife, I need to seek to reverence, respect, or submit to my husband because he loves me so much. And we're to love our wives, husbands are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it. He laid down his life. He gave his all. So a question comes to my mind for each one of us to ask ourselves, okay, I'm going to put this to the wives. You may have heard this question before, but I have no problem repeating it. Do you love your husband? Do you? Do you respect your husband? Do you submit to your husband? Well, I've got a lot of reasons why I don't need to do those things. You know, I don't think God is saying here, if it suits you. If you see a perfect husband, then you do it. None of us are perfect. Second question goes to the husbands. Husbands, do you love your wife? Do you love her? If somebody was to put a gun to your wife's head, would you step in the way? If your wife was about to get run over by a car, but you knew that you could get there, push her out of the way, but you'd probably lose your own life, would you do it? You say, yeah, I'd do those things. And let me ask you this. Are you willing to sacrifice for her every day? In the small things, the simple things? Are you willing to help her at home? If you've got kids, are you willing to help with the kids? Are you willing to help with the housework? Oh, no, that's woman's work. No, it's not. Yes, women are to be keepers at home. The Word of God tells us that. But does that mean a man can't help? Does that mean a man can't do these things? If my sink at home is full of dirty dishes, which it might be, is it only my wife's responsibility to make sure those are washed, cleaned, put away? You see, sometimes we get the attitude that, you know, my wife, she's just not up to par where she should be. And God's saying, hold on a second. Why can't you help? You see, we say as husbands sometimes, yeah, I'd step in front of that bullet. I'd step in front of that car. But don't ask me to do dishes. It's not right. It's so simple. You know, we're willing to be the macho guy sometimes. And God is saying, look, I don't want you to be macho. I want you to submit to me. I want you to love your wife and show her you love her. I want you to help her. I want you to take care of her. I want you to provide for her. I want you to protect her. I want you to meet her needs. Again, I'm kind of overbalanced on the husband's side because I'm a man probably. I find it more difficult to relate to all the individual things and desires of the woman. So I hope you'll forgive me for that. But as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, a married man's responsibility is to please his wife. A married wife's responsibility is to please her husband. So next question. I'm sure a lot of times we don't like these questions, do we? Like, well, Bob, can you just get on the message and not ask the questions? Wives, are you pleasing your husband? Do you please your husband? If you were to ask your husband today, am I pleasing you? Do I please you? Maybe the next question would have to be, how can I please you? Husbands, if you were to ask your wife today, honey, do I please you? I don't? What? I don't? What do you mean? That's not true. I can remember. Just last week I did something for you. Come on. Maybe the question should be, how can I please you? You see, in a marriage relationship, you can do one of two things. You can tear down or you can build up. And isn't that the same in our relationship with anybody? You can tear it down or you can build it up. You can make it better or you can make it worse. So let's look within ourselves, okay, today. Now, I don't want you to look at your wife now, or I don't want you to look at your husband. I want you to look within and say, how can I please my spouse according to the Word of God, which God tells me to do? How can I do it? Have I been doing it? Have I even been trying? If I was to ask you, since we've been talking about this subject on marriage, how many of you have been trying to get your marriage to the next level? Like, if your marriage is at a 1 out of 10, how many of you have been trying to get it to a 1.5? Or if your marriage is at a 9, how many of you are trying to get it to that 10? Now, we're not perfect, so we may never reach that 10, but we can get close. Because God gives us and tells us ways that we can do that. God tells us how our attitude should be, how our conduct should be, how our words should be. God did not create us and create marriage to have life miserable. Next question. Is your marriage miserable? I hope all of us could say, no, it's not miserable. But you know, we don't know what goes on in each other's homes, do we? We can come here and we can smile and we can hold hands sometimes. And we can make things look pretty decent on the outside. And yet when we left this morning, we had an argument with our spouse. When we left this morning to come to worship God, we said things we shouldn't have said. We had an attitude that we shouldn't have had. And yet we can come here and make it look like everything's good. And it's not, a lot of times. It's not. We should get things right the moment things happen. And we as husbands are responsible to make sure that happens. That we make things right. That we get things right. That we have a right relationship. We are responsible to God for our wives. Our wives are responsible to submit to us, to respect us, and to love us. But it is our responsibility, our rank in the scale that God has made, that we as husbands are to answer to God for our families. You say, well, you know, I love my children a lot. It's great. Do you love your husband? Do you love your wife? Now, I don't know if you've noticed this. I have not really gotten into any specifics in this whole session, this whole series of marriage. And there's a reason for that. I'm trying to stick to a larger, vaguer scale. I'm willing to do this, and I think some of the brethren here who are capable and who you respect are willing to do this, that if you want to have answers to some specific problems, questions, come to them. Ask them individually. It's not something that I want to take up here on the platform in front of everybody. But we have all, anyone who is married, have all had problems. There's no perfect marriage because there's no perfect spouse. But we're willing to help. That's why I'm here. Because I wish I had had help. I've said that before, and I mean it with all my heart. I wish I had had help when I was first married. I wish people had drawn close to me and said, hey, let me tell you how you can be a good husband. Let me tell you some things you shouldn't do. Let me tell you some things you shouldn't say. It's by God's grace that I'm still married today. I don't want anybody to be there. I'm taking up this subject because I want no one to have to go through that. And if you're going through it, we want to get you out of that and get you moving on to a good relationship with your family, with your spouse, in the home, with the Lord. You see, what happens a lot of times is you don't realize that you're away from the Lord. You don't realize that when your relationship in the home isn't right, you're not in tune with God. You're not walking in fellowship with God. You don't realize that. You think everything's okay spiritually. I got this problem at home. Hey, you know, my husband, he's dirty, he's rotten, he's no good. I don't want to be with him anymore. But you don't realize when you have thoughts like that and feelings like that, you're away from the Lord. Because it's your job, your responsibility to please your husband. And the same with the husband. When you think, you know what, my wife is no good. I wish she'd leave. I want to tell you something. You're away from God. And I was there, and I didn't know it. Right relationship with God also means a right relationship with your spouse. If you don't have a right relationship with your spouse, you don't have a right relationship with God. I'm thinking of the worship this morning. I was amazed at how some little things just really fell into place. You know, who did Jesus Christ please? God the Father. How do we know that? Because as was brought up in worship this morning, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Several times throughout Scripture, the Lord says that. God says that about His Son. Jesus Christ pleased the Father. We want to please the Father. We want to please Jesus Christ. And when we're not pleasing our spouse, according to the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we are to please our spouse. And when we're not pleasing God. There's an example that I want to bring out. It's not a joke, Brother Charles. I want you to know that. There's a fella, and he spent a lot of time going shopping with his wife. A friend of his who was a neighbor noticed it a lot of times. They would go out. So the neighbor's talking back and forth. He said, yes, I noticed you go out a lot. What do you do? He says, oh, I go shopping with my wife. He goes, oh. So after a few more weeks of seeing him go out with his wife, he comes over to him and he says, you still going shopping with your wife? He goes, yeah. Really? You go shopping with your wife that much? Oh, yeah. He says, you love shopping that much? He goes, no, I love my wife that much.
Hallelujah.
Big difference, huh? Are we willing to make that sacrifice? I'm not going with her. She's got her own ideas, her own way. She takes too long in the store. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but this in relationship to shopping, I've done it with my wife. I have to say, I don't like it. Sorry. When I go shopping with my wife, and this is, I've heard this before, somebody else said it, and I'm just going to simply repeat it. She'll look at something, and she'll look at something else, she'll look at something else, and she'll look at, and after quite a long time that my legs are starting to hurt, and my hips are getting sore, and I'm starting to breathe heavy, I need to get out of here. She haven't made a choice yet. My wife decides she doesn't want anything in that store. And another person used this term, and I think it's very suitable. When I go shopping with my wife, I don't go shopping with my wife. I go hunting with my wife. Here, you need this. You want this. This is perfect. This is what you want right here. Make this decision. Choose this. Let's go. Now that doesn't suit me. I have a hard time talking with my wife. We're all different. But the point is, you'll do things that you don't necessarily like just to be with your spouse. Because you love them. And that shows that you love them. When you do things you don't want to do, but you do it anyways, just to be with them. We can move on from there. And I'll tell you what, let's jump over to 1 Peter chapter 3. And this is where we were looking at last time, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. But we're going to move on from there. There's a verse in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, 2. It says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, that's crucial in a relationship. There's also a verse that I didn't read. I'm jumping back and forth here, and I apologize for that, but time constraint. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. I'm not going to turn to it. I'm just going to basically say what it says. It says, to do everything without complaining or arguing. That's my attitude, right? Not to complain, not to argue. Now, it's kind of a command from God. Do everything without complaining. Look, Lord, I really appreciate the $50,000 car you just gave me, but it doesn't have the tires I wanted. What? Are you nuts? I just let you have a $50,000 car and you're complaining about the tires? Isn't that the way we are? Like, I just gave you a beautiful wife, and she's really trying to do everything to please you, but you don't like the fact that her hair's not the color that you really wanted? Why do we do that? We complain. And then it's like, okay, honey, let's go. Oh, you just want to take me everywhere, don't you? I can't stay home at all. I don't know, just, if you don't want to go, that's fine. I mean, maybe I'm picking on the wives, or maybe I should pick on the husband a little bit. Okay. I got a great husband. But why does he leave his clothes on the bedroom floor all the time? I've got to pick him up. I know he goes to work every day. I know he brings home money. I know he takes me out for dinner. I know we do things together. But why can't he pick his clothes up? I'm tired of it. I'm not going to do it. We argue. We complain. If you love your husband and you got to pick those clothes up, I mean, you might want to kind of clue him in that he's doing it. Maybe he'll pick it up. Maybe he'll learn a lesson. But Why can't we pick those clothes up and put them in the hamper for them? If we really love them. We get to the point where we just don't want to do things anymore. Tired of it. And they're simple things. God says do everything without complaining and without arguing. Can we do that? Can we try this week to not complain about our spouse? Wow. If you started to count, and I'm not saying that the spouse should count, hey, that's the 10th time he's complained. I'm saying individually do it for yourself. The next time you complain about your spouse, about anything about your spouse, realize that you're complaining. Wow. You start keeping track, next thing you know, hey, I ran out of paper. I didn't even know I was complaining. I can relate that to some other things, but I'll let that go. 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 8. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. You say, hold on a second here. This passage isn't talking about marriage. Yeah, I know the first 7 verses were, but this one's not. So you can't get me on that. Well, hold on a second. If you're in a relationship, God's saying here, whether you're in a relationship or not, all of you live in harmony with one another. So the next question, is there harmony in your home? Is it? You see, when Sherry was up here playing the piano, can you imagine if she was like, bah, 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 and we're all trying to sing the tune, and bah, 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 bah. No harmony? You're going to wish Sherry wasn't playing the piano. But Sherry plays the piano with harmony. We sing together with her in harmony. Our marriages are to be harmonious. Our relationship with one another are to be harmonious. And does it just mean in a marriage? No. It means right here with all of us too. We should be harmonious with one another. We should be in harmony. We should be helping one another. We should be encouraging one another. We should be strengthening one another. We should be building one another up. And getting back to the marriage relationship. Are we doing that in a home? Am I building up my spouse? Am I encouraging my spouse? Am I saying nice things to my spouse? Am I being kind to my spouse? Am I showing love to my spouse? Or you could, I'll even go further here for you guys. Okay? You kids. Are you being nice to your brother or sister? Are you encouraging them? Are you helping them on a daily basis? Are there times when maybe you're just mean to them and you do things to them to bug them? God says, don't do that. God says, encourage one another. Help one another. Be kind to one another. You see a need that they have, help them with it. And that's the way it is to be in a home. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you this. I'm about that far on that much in this message. So I have no problem stopping here. It's time to stop. I can continue on at any time. I can go from this point to the next. I just hope I'm not boring you all with these things. But God wants us to have a happy marriage in the Lord. God does not want us to endure marriage. God does not want us to despise marriage. God does not want us to dislike and show ill favor to our spouse. God does not want us to be cruel and mean in a home with our husband or wife. And so I encourage you to take a step back. And do what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Before you are to come to the breaking of bread, to the remembrance feast, to worship, let a man examine himself. It doesn't mean you examine the other person. Examine yourself. Examine your heart. Examine how you have been. Examine the innermost being. Get on your knees before God and say, look, I've been wrong. It's not for me to point that out. It's for me to bring you the Word of God and to help you. But it's not for me to condemn you. It's the work of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's up to you to examine yourself and say, I need help. And there's brethren and sisters here who are willing to help. And I pray, my great desire in all of this is that every one of us, every family represented here, especially here, will have a great marriage that they can say, this is fantastic. Thank you, Lord, for my marriage. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. You're an amazing God. And you've given me a great spouse. Let's pray. Father, touch our hearts. May the Word of God act like a hammer on each one of us and break us down. That we might be willing to submit to you. That we might be willing to show the respect and the love to our spouse that we should. Help us to change our ways. Help us to see our shortcomings. Help us to see our faults. And help us that we might have a desire from your Holy Spirit, that we might be convicted about these things and have a desire to change, that we might honor and glorify God in our homes. And that our relationship with our spouses would be so amazing that other people will want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us help. We commend ourselves to you and thank you for the food below and ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.